My guest at this time is Rachel Sheffield. She's with the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We want to get her insights on a new report released on Tuesday by the U.S. Census Bureau that reported that nearly 110 million Americans lived in households that received benefits from one or more federally funded means-tested programs, which are commonly referred to in many circles as welfare. That does not even include folks who get other federal assistance in ways like Social Security and other non-means-tested programs. And Rachel, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
So nearly 110 million Americans living in households that received benefits based on means testing. How does that compare to previous years? Is this about what we've seen before, or is this getting progressively more expensive?
This is about what we've seen before. But, you know, putting this in perspective, this is about one-third of the American population that receives some type of means-tested welfare benefit, which is a huge number. And, you know, we have a welfare system that continues to increase in cost. You know, 80 different federally means-tested welfare programs. So it's a very large welfare system. You know, unfortunately, the federal government tends to measure welfare success by the number of people that are receiving benefits. And I think that's really the key issue here, is that mentality that a huge welfare system is a successful welfare system.
Just to follow up on that, their goal is to get as many people as possible on this?
Well, I mean, if we look at things, for example, like the food stamps program and, you know, other programs, I mean, they actually try to pull as many people onto the program as possible. They, you know, have recruiting procedures, and you know, they advertise to get people onto these programs. That certainly shouldn't be the goal. The goal should be to help individuals become self-sufficient rather than to be on welfare.
We've seen in recent years, certainly since the economic downturn of the late Bush administration, early Obama administration, that we're at record numbers of people below the poverty level, record number of people on food stamps. So do those numbers kind of correspond to the numbers we're seeing in the Census Bureau report, or are they a little bit different of an indicator?
Those go along with it. I mean, we've seen huge growth, for example, in food stamps, and other programs as well have grown. Food stamps, I would say, it's one of the largest and fastest growing welfare programs, or has been certainly in the last several years. So yeah, we do see a correspondence there.
Where are we headed, Rachel, if this mentality persists and this amount of spending persists?
We're headed towards a much larger welfare system, and we were projected under President Obama's plan to spend $14 trillion on welfare in the next decade. We've spent $20 trillion over the last five decades on welfare, and just in the next decade alone, where it's projected to be $14 trillion. So we're looking at greater expansion of welfare spending and a welfare system.
What are the solutions from your perspective here? What's the way to start to turn this around?
First of all, it's getting the welfare system onto, basing it on the principle of self-sufficiency, reforming policy so that we're encouraging able-bodied adults to work and to become self-sufficient. I mean, right now, the vast majority of welfare programs don't include any type of a work requirement. And so inserting work requirements into programs like food stamps that encourage able-bodied adults to work or prepare for work or to look for work as a condition of receiving assistance would be a critical reform that would base it on that principle of work and self-sufficiency rather than, having a welfare system just based on a mentality of, you know, let's grow it as big as we can.
And that's obviously been a major controversy, and the Heritage Foundation certainly has been a part of that, given the organization's role in drafting that welfare reform legislation back in the 1990s, and the president unilaterally removing a lot of those work requirements, as you mentioned. What other things has this administration done that you believe has contributed to this?
Well, yeah, so we've also seen, for example, in the food stamps program, there's pushing policies that make it easier for people to get on the program and to stay on the program. That's one contributor there. But also, like you say, just basically gutting work requirements from the 1996 welfare reform that inserted work requirements into one program. That was part of the 1996 welfare reform, but we've seen the Obama administration get rid of those. There's a very minor work requirement in food stamps that the Obama administration has, you know, allowed states to waive and has pushed for that. And so we've just seen this, this even greater push from the Obama administration to get rid of what few work requirements were there.
Rachel, last question. If, in fact, this administration and the government in general continues to not only pay out more and more into these benefits, but actually encourage folks to get on them and in some cases stay on them. What's that going to mean for our debt or for tax rates in the near future if this persists? I don't know if you have hard numbers on that, but in general, what are we looking at in those two areas?
Don't have any hard numbers, but if we're spending $14 trillion on welfare in the next decade, I mean, that's going to, you know, and if we consider to, you know, the increase with things like Obamacare and other just large government programs, that's certainly going to contribute to the economic well-being of our country, contribute to, I guess, the opposite of its well-being, really.
Rachel, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Rachel Sheffield is with the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.